The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, as always, I need to riff and comment on a couple things that I just heard in the newscast. So Jay Inslee says that it is racist and discriminatory for insurance companies to use credit scores to determine what somebody's rates are. He says that credit scores discriminate against people of color and lower income people. Hey, Governor, I think that's racist. I think that's a racist statement by you. I know a lot of people of color who pay their bills. I know that when I was poverty level, sometimes I had to work 60, 70 hours a week, but I paid my bills. For you to assume that somebody, because of their income status or the color of their skin, that they don't pay their bills, seems like a very racist statement by Governor Inslee. And then as for Juneteenth, it's millions and millions and millions of dollars so all state employees can get another day off. Oh, I applaud that. Right now, our state employees are working, well, I don't know if it's almost as hard as people in the private sector, because they get a lot of holidays and they get a lot of benefits for time off that just aren't possible in the private sector. But anything we can do to make life easier on our government overlords, I am all for. So if we have to come up with millions and millions of tax dollars so we can get another statewide holiday for state employees so that you can all pat yourselves on the back on how socially conscious you are, I am all for that. Because heaven forbid that state employees should... Look, I mean, they need a break at the Employment Security Department, for crying out loud. They've been getting, you know, inundated with people who are unemployed trying to file claims and get the money that's due them. And those poor state workers, yeah, that's got to be tough to so incompetently run a department so consistently. And now that their leader, Susie Levine, has gone on to the Biden administration, where she can export her special brand of leadership to the rest of the country. Well, again, let's all work just a little bit harder so the state employees can get another day off. What a grand expression of what a fantastically progressive state we are. All right. Let's see. Let me check my notes here. I take notes during the newscast, not knowing what they're talking about, just so I can make sure I, get my say. All right. I think that's all I got. Did I already mention that we're coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio? Welcome. Welcome to the big show. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
As you know, downtown Seattle for years now has been an open drug market. In that area and Pike Street that they call Stab Alley. By the way, that's about the worst nickname. I mean, Skid Row was bad when they used to call Pioneer Square that. You know, Lombard Street in San Francisco's the twistiest street in the world. That's kind of a cute nickname. Stab Alley is what we call a couple blocks in downtown Seattle. The reason that we call it Stab Alley is because, well, a lot of people get stabbed there. And the reason they get stabbed so much is because downtown Seattle has been an open drug bazaar for many, many years now. And on Wednesday, I'll give credit to the Seattle Police Department because they made a bunch of drug arrests in neighborhoods around downtown Seattle. at 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon on the 600 block of 3rd Avenue. Officers watched a 43-year-old man make a drug sale. They found that he had $2,200 in small bills. He was holding 34 grams of hash, 15 grams of psilocybin mushrooms, almost a gram of crack, 5.5 tabs of Molly, 4 benzodiazepine pills. So he was booked into King County Jail for illegal possession of narcotics. Half hour later, Seattle police watched a man on 12th and South Jackson make a bunch of drug sales. They arrested him for the drugs, and then after that, they discovered that he was in possession of a stolen pistol, had been stolen in a burglary. He was on federal probation for a narcotics-related conviction. He had a bunch of cash on him, 10 grams of crack cocaine, 1.5 grams of heroin, almost a gram of meth. He went into the King County Jail for possession of illegal narcotics, but also possession of a stolen gun, illegal possession of a gun. Wednesday evening, 7:15, 3rd and Pike. A 27-year-old man was engaged in narcotics activity. After police arrested him, they discovered that he had a stolen handgun. He was booked into King County Jail for possession of a stolen gun and narcotics. And on it went. Three people were arrested on 8th and Yesler with narcotics, and police also found a gun and a sword on those people. That may not be possible anymore, thanks to the state Supreme Court ruling that came down after we got off the air yesterday. The Washington State Supreme Court has now ruled that police cannot arrest people for possession of drugs. It is as dangerous a court decision as I've ever heard. It was a 5-4 decision. And the five judges who voted for it, Cheryl McLeod, Mary Yu, Raquel Montoya Lewis, Helen Whitner, and Stephen Gonzalez, they'll all go on my judge watch list as people that we got to get out of office because they're making our state so much more dangerous. So what this means is that every police department in the state has sent out an advisory to its officers that went out either last night or today that essentially drugs are legal. All drugs, statewide. And according to my law enforcement sources, we are going to see some dangerous felons released from jail. People who are being held on a narcotics charge, but also have underlying serious felonies. Now, child assault, crimes like that. Those dangerous people are going to be walking the streets now. But beyond that, it just makes me ask the question, what are we doing? How did this happen to a state I love, where police cannot arrest people for having the most soul-destroying, life-ending drugs imaginable? I got very sad this morning as I was thinking about what we have become. I even did what I do when I often am coping with sadness. Went to YouTube, listened to a song about addiction. One of my favorite ones, Neil Young's Needle and the Needle and the Damage Done.
I seen the needle and the damage done. A little part of it in everyone.
But every junk is like the setting sun.
I mean, not... I'm going to pause for just a second. Not only is it a beautiful song, but that lyric, that line is so powerful. Every junkie's like a setting sun. I know people who have lost their kids to heroin. I have seen the effects of these drugs on young people who at one point had a bright light inside of them. I know a kid that I loved so dearly whose life was lost to drugs. I'm getting tears in my eyes as I think about this kid. Someone I coached. And we have a structure in the state. Politicians, prosecutors, a Supreme Court that is making us the most drug-friendly state in the country. And we're seeing the effects of it. Record number of murders, record level of property crime, record number of assaults and violent crime, all of a 21-year high this century. Drug gangs are murdering each other. Those kids are lost forever. There have been 5 ODs in Pierce County in just the last, since the first of the year. 5 souls lost. Every junkie is like a setting sun.
Seen the needle and the damage done. A little part of it and everyone. Every junkie's like a setting sun.
And this is the structure that we have created in our state to watch these lives get destroyed, to have a state that is going to be, if it's not already, the heroin and meth capital of the country. Drugs have been legalized in King County with disastrous results the last 2 years. And now the state Supreme Court won't allow cops to arrest people for possession of drugs. And the reason? Because there's no way of knowing if they were really planning to use those drugs. I mean, just because they have drugs on them doesn't mean that they were planning on using them. Or maybe someone planted them on them. This is what extreme leftist ideology gets us. And that's what this is. Make no mistake about this. It is the continued attempt to destroy us from within. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
And then you have our city council, our Seattle City Council. Down in Pioneer Square, where there are tents everywhere, Q13 did a story a couple of days ago about a wheelchair-bound woman who cannot roll down so many of the sidewalks because they are packed, every square inch packed with tents. So she has to take her wheelchair out into a bus lane so that she can get past all of the tents. Andrew Lewis is the feckless Seattle City Councilman who represents that area. And Q13 did a follow-up. They talked to a resident who said how horrible crime is there.
Homelessness could happen to anybody, but the additional criminal element makes it completely out of hand.
So then they talked to Councilman Andrew Lewis, who has been in favor of defunding the police So what are you going to do about this, Councilman?
Well, you'll have to talk to the police department or the mayor on what the long-term strategy is going to be in that corridor. What I would really like to see is that we make sure that the Just Care program is renewed and expanded.
So he wants to defund the police, but when asked what he's going to do about runaway crime in his neighborhood, he says, oh, you're going to have to talk to the police about that. You know, I'm doing so much better with name calling. So I'm not going to call Andrew Lewis a gutless coward. But what I will say is that his comments are gutless and that his actions are cowardly. Randy Husrick with Seattle Police said, what in the world is happening when somebody wants to defund us, says, oh, I'm going to point to the police to solve the problem in my neighborhood.
For him to turn around and put that back on the Seattle Police Department is a little puzzling. It's a little puzzling based on the fact that, you know, he was one of the people who voted to
defund the police. That's what he voted to do. He's got cut off there. Okay, there you have it. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We are going to check the news for you. And then Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer, he will join us coming up next to talk about what this Supreme Court ruling means for law enforcement. We'll do that up next as we get rolling here on a Friday afternoon edition of the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we told you in the big lead, a stunning Washington State Supreme Court decision now says that it is legal to possess illegal drugs if you didn't know you had them. I don't know what to make of this, but I'm hoping that Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer has started to make sense of the Supreme Court ruling. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Sheriff, always great to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay, so what does this mean? Let's just start with your reaction to the Supreme Court decision.
Well, we were all pretty stunned. And, you know, if it was just to come down to these weren't my parents, like this case is being looked at and that was proven, then yeah, okay. But it's written so weirdly and widely that it pertains to anybody that could have illegal drugs. And we're talking heroin, cocaine, the type of substances that are coming in and just causing all kinds of detriment to our society. And right now we're looking at the fact that we're not going to be able to arrest on these types of drugs anymore. But all the people that are in jail or already being held on these type of cases are not going to be charged. And what we're analyzing, and the scary part about this is, say we have 100 people in jail with cocaine, heroin, and all that type of possession.
Yep.
And I agree, we can't arrest our way out of these problems, and people need treatment, and I'd rather see them get treatment if it's just simple possession. But now you look at some of these possessions, and a secondary charge, because we arrested them for possession, is felon in possession of firearm, or some other crime that came after that that we discovered, well, we're going to lose all that too. So there's a chance that we're analyzing it now. There's a chance now that people that may be armed career felons, that they're arrested on illegal drug possession because it's part of their probation, that we may not be able to charge them for felon in possession of a firearm or other crimes. We may be letting a whole lot of people out of jail. And that's going to be scary. Bad people that need to be in jail, not the simple possession people.
Understood. Okay, so as I understand it, the standard now is if the person with the drug says they didn't know they had the drugs, then you can't arrest for the drugs. Has anybody ever in the history of law enforcement arrested somebody with drugs who said, oh, yeah, I knew I had those? I mean, doesn't everybody say, I had no idea that was there. I don't know where it came from. Somebody put it in my trunk. Somebody put it in my purse. Has anybody ever copped to having the drugs?
Well, you know, actually, a lot of times they do admit to having them because they admit to having a problem. And see, that's different. They admit to having them. They admit to having a problem. You can tell signs that they've used them. You know, there's a whole bunch of different ways that that can go. and that's usually up to the officer on the street, and they have a lot of training. They follow the law, and they're not setting people up. It's just that sometimes people admit they have these drugs, and that's pretty much admission that they need help, not that they want to go to jail. So we're all for trying to get people treatment because we don't like arresting the same people over and over. Like I said, you cannot arrest your way out of problems and issues, and you're not going to arrest somebody out of their addiction issues. They need treatment. And we are always looking for ways to do that, whether it be inside the facility, outside the facility, part of probation, because nobody wants people out there doing that. But what we've done now is pretty much given everybody free rein and said this is legal and actually makes it more okay for people to become addicted. And that's terrible. Look what it's done up in Seattle and King County. And what it's going to do is going to bring in drug dealers. It's going to bring in crime. Drug dealers are still going to come in and supply the drugs because the state's sure not going to give the drugs away for free. And the people that are most addicted don't have the money to buy drugs. So what are they going to do? They're going to go out and steal.
Well, of course.
Property crimes are going to continue to skyrocket for people to afford to buy the drugs from the drug dealers that are coming in to supply the demand.
So does this Supreme Court ruling apply to any amount of drugs? Because in King County, drugs are de facto legalized for personal possession amounts. What if somebody is holding what would clearly be or suggest that they are a drug dealer? If they say, if they have that in the trunk and they say, I don't know who put it there, do they get a free pass now under this Supreme Court ruling?
Well, when you're a drug dealer, a lot of other stuff comes with it. The amount of drugs, the type of packaging, the equipment that comes with it, the money, and those type of things we do not at this point expect to be affected. That we can still go after drug dealers and the people in the houses that are causing neighborhoods chaos. We're going to continue to do that, but we're also continuing to analyze the decision with our legal advisors in the prosecutor's office. They're reviewing it hard to determine what our next steps are. It caught everybody off guard, but we are definitely going to do what we can to still be able to enforce laws, put it into situations in neighborhoods where this takes over, and God forbid, more kids getting hold of drugs and overdosing. We had 17 or so heroin and opiate-type drug overdose deaths in a two-month period down here in Pierce County. But 17 people who died of overdoses from these type of drugs by just being users. And you got to look at that, too. It's really not fair to the people that are hooked and addicted to just let them go and have this until they're dead. And it's not fair to the families and other people that this causes hate and you know, just troubles in all directions that we can't do something about it. Not just the police, but us as a society.
Right.
We need to step up and do something about this. But this is a strike against us to be able to get that done. We're actually right now getting ready to start a new unit. And as we start thinking about that new unit, this has changed how we're going to do business. And so we have to analyze that and see how we're going to move forward. So this is a big deal.
Well, and it's, you know, we have been in King County, we have been one of the lowest barrier counties in the United States to be a heroin or meth addict, because you're not arrested for having those drugs, and they're trying to legalize misdemeanor crimes because, as you said a few minutes ago, every one of these drug users, or almost everyone, has to commit crimes to support their habit. We're seeing what's happening on the streets, and it's catastrophic. And now we're seeing this spreading statewide. I know that everybody says, well, the way we were doing things just wasn't working. But clearly, this legalization of drugs is working even worse in King County, and this scares me, Ed, what the Supreme Court's doing to the state now.
Well, you're right, and what's going to happen statewide, and you're right. The old way might not have been working, but it was way better than what's going on up there now. And, yes, there are ways we can supplement with treatment and alternative forms of putting people in jail for a lot of different reasons. But this is going to be a big step backwards in the long run. I don't see how anybody who's been seeing what's going on in Seattle has not noticed it yet. You have rent prices decreasing. You're going to have value properties decreasing. You have commercial businesses closing because they can't afford the shoplifting and theft and the broken windows and the vandalism and all the people that are staying away from those businesses because they're afraid to go near them. It's just going to be a snowball effect that might be something that will take years and years to get out of.
Okay, last thing. Last night, a Seattle narcotics cop forwarded to me the memo that they got. Seattle police last night announced they will no longer detain or arrest people or confiscate drugs under the possession law. What are you doing in the Pierce County Sheriff's Office as of this Supreme Court ruling?
We're doing the exact same thing. That's basically what they've told us. We're not going to arrest anybody if we can't get them charged and they're not going through the system, which unfortunately is going to mean a lot of people aren't going to be identified for having these problems. And they're not going to get the help they need. That's one. Secondly, well, we're not going to be able to keep everybody in jail that's there now and people that are there for other reasons besides the drugs being the first reason. The possibility we're going to have to let some of them out. That's being analyzed by the prosecutor's office and attorneys. There's a lot to still shake out on this, but you look at the very worst back end, it is not pretty, and it's something that's going to affect every single person in this state.
Just shocking to me, the degradation of this state that I've grown up in and loved and the direction we are headed. It's pretty amazing. All right, Ed Troyer is your Pierce County Sheriff. Ed, always appreciate your insights. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye. And as always, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. Lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls up. Oh, man. Got a lot of good stuff for you in the Fastest 15 coming up right after the top of the hour. Thank you to Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer for explaining what this Supreme Court ruling means. Down in Orlando, Florida, CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, is going on today through Sunday. The keynote speaker on Sunday is Donald Trump, who, and I don't know if you remember this, but Donald Trump was actually president of the United States for about 4 years. And there's all kinds of talk that he's going to run again in 2024. So that's coming up on Sunday. This was kind of fun. So Jim Acosta, the caustic CNN reporter, who was the rudest White House correspondent ever. So if somebody is being rude to Jim Acosta, they're just kind of feeding back what Acosta dishes out all of the time. A reporter at The Federalist hit up Jim Acosta at CPAC and said, hey, there is this huge scandal with Andrew Cuomo killing thousands of elderly people with the cover-up of the nursing home deaths. Now there have been growing allegations of sexual harassment. And, of course, Andrew Cuomo's brother is one of CNN's featured hosts, Chris Cuomo. And so the Federalist reporter asked Jim Acosta, when is your network going to start covering this gigantic scandal with Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York?
When are you guys going to start covering Cuomo? When are you guys going to start covering Cuomo? No, I'm asking you a serious question. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. He killed 10,000 people. And he's accused of sexual assault. And you guys want to talk about Ted Cruz. When are you going to start covering Cuomo?
Just because he's rude, I'll be rude.
Sir, let me just finish this interview and then I'll talk to you, okay?
So that's Andrew Cuomo, who's being interviewed by someone else. And he said, let me finish this interview, then I'll talk. And again, this guy's just doing what Jim Acosta always does to us.
No.
Well, then, excuse me. I haven't.
Yeah, what are you going to box me out? Yeah. You're not tall enough. When are you going to start covering it, Jim?
So, anyway,
when's CNN going to deal with Cuomo?
No, you're not. Okay, we agree to disagree.
No, we don't agree to disagree. You're not covering Cuomo.
I'm sorry, but.
What do you think about it? What do you have to say about Cuomo?
I'm here to do a job right now.
Oh.
To talk to you.
You have plenty to say about Trump. Nothing to say about Cuomo?
I'm here to do a job.
What do you have to say about Cuomo? Nothing? Nothing, right? You have nothing to say about Andrew Cuomo. The emperor of New York, and you have nothing to say. Okay, then we see it. Then we see it.
At least don't rat on your friends.
Then we see it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Jim Acosta is quite a journalist. So, and CNN has spent more time covering Ted Cruz so that they could provide political cover for Andrew Cuomo. Ted Cruz, by the way, who, you know, took his family, his girls wanted to go to Cancun when Texas was out of power. Here's how Ted Cruz opened his comments this morning at CPAC.
I gotta say, Orlando is awesome. It's not as nice as Cancun.
Ooh, man. His haters hated that. Ted Cruz is going to be on with Jason Rance on our sister station, 770 KTTH, at 3:30 this afternoon. And Jason gave us a little preview of it. They talked about all the media coverage of Ted Cruz's trip to Mexico.
Yes, I took my girls to the beach, and apparently it was Watergate meets Iran-Contra meets the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. The media always tells you who they're afraid of. And we are seeing right now a concerted assault in liberty across this country. An assault on free speech, an assault on religious liberty, an assault on the Second Amendment. And we need to stand up and defend those rights. That's what this CPAC is all about.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to apologize to anyone in the media for standing and fighting to defend the liberties we enjoy as Americans.
Another thing that he and Jason will talk about a little more in depth is Seattle has been the tip of the spear for this growing socialist movement. But, man, nationally, this radical Congress, they want to accelerate socialism nationwide.
Our ideas work. Freedom works.
Yeah.
Socialism is a train wreck. It's a disaster. It doesn't work. We should be joyful. The left is angry and shrill and harsh and silencing. They want to censor you. They want to cancel you. They want to control every aspect of your life. You know, right now there's a young person in Seattle who's being told, oh, the left is so cool, until they discover they want to control everything you think, do, everything about your life. How about some damn freedom? How about it?
You can hear the whole interview with Ted Cruz on Jason's show, 3:30 this afternoon, 770 KTTH. Our Fast is 15 is coming up next.